There are so many mid-sized communities in America that would give almost anything to have a really successful celebrated ballet company of their own. But Florida's capital city is not among those unfortunate places. And that's because we have the Tallahassee Ballet Company that's been performing and teaching in our community for many decades. This morning on Perspectives, we'll meet some of the people involved in the organization. We're going to learn more about it and preview its next performance. It's the Tallahassee Ballet Company. All coming up this morning right here on Perspectives, right after the news from NPR and Sasha Kordner. Thursday to you. So glad that you made it to yet another nearly end of the week. And this is Perspectives on WFSU-FM, as we usually have on each and every Thursday morning until we hit political season. More on that to come when we get all of the candidates and all of that lined up. But right now, we got some happier stuff to talk about. And before we give you the topic of the day, our number is 850-414-1234. And if you got an old-fashioned landline and you're calling long distance, we'll pick up the tab for that, 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. I'm Tom Flanagan, and you are always welcome to be part of the conversation, which today is going to involve a cultural group that many people in our area are somewhat unaware of. You probably already know, like, the Tallahassee Symphony and the Tallahassee Winds and all that kind of thing, because we do talk about them a lot, but not so much the Tallahassee Ballet, which has been around for many decades. And we're going to get into that history and much, much more in just a little bit. But let's go around and meet the panel, if we could, here, starting to my right, your left on the radio, Janet Pichard, the Chief Executive Officer of the Tallahassee Ballet since January of 2007, combining a lifelong passion for dance with professional experience in ballet instruction and administration and business marketing and all the things that an exec director has to do. And it's so good to have you on, Janet.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here and would love to tell your audience more about the Tallahassee Ballet.
We are going to learn a whole bunch today, that's for sure. We also say hi to KK, as she is so affectionately known, Catherine Karakashian, who has choreographed for the Tallahassee Ballet for a quarter of a century. That sounds so impressive, KK. It really does. Yeah, including Nutcracker, numerous chamber works, full-length ballets like Beauty and the Beast, Midsummer Night's Dream, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, all of those wonderful, wonderful dance moves, and some of them incredibly complex, and you have my admiration. It's great to have you, Kate.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And Shelby Kennerly Augustniak is the president of the Tallahassee Ballet's Board of Directors, Tallahassee native, alum of the ballet, and loves the discipline and lifelong friendships made through the ballet experience. And you also are at King & Wood, right?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my gosh.
And they are a sponsor of the ballet. Also. So, presidency, full-time job, kids, family, all that. Love it.
And ballet and everything else.
Everything else. That's right.
I would not want to have your scheduling responsibility. That would be daunting, to say the least. Good to have you, though,
Thank
Shelby.
You.
Jorge Arceo, principal dancer, fourth season with the Tallahassee Ballet, recently promoted to principal dancer, been in the Nutcracker in performance with the Tallahassee Ballet in an evening of music and dance, and hails from Havana. It is good to have you, Jorge.
Yeah, good to be here. Thank you.
It is great. And we say hi to a very good friend, Tyrone Brooks, joined the Tallahassee Ballet as the artistic director during the 2013-2014 season. 18 years as a principal dancer at the Dance Theater of Harlem in New York City, and a whole bunch of... What haven't you done, Tyrone?
There's a lot I haven't done, but I've done quite a lot.
Well, you've also helped to line up this program, and for that we are eternally grateful. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Jen, if we could. That background, that history of the Tallahassee Ballet, and, you know, if you drive by the old Northwood Center, you see proudly on the wall of what used to be an Eckerd/CVS, Tallahassee Ballet, and that's where you guys are right now. But how did it all get started?
And the Tallahassee Ballet started in 1972. It was started by a former Balanchine dancer. Her name was Helen Salter. And she had a studio that was actually located where we are now, down in the lower part of the Northwood Mall. And she began the Tallahassee Civic Ballet back at that time. And it was a very small group, and we have grown tremendously since then. In fact, KK was part of one of the original cast members or dancers with the Tallahassee Ballet, and she knows the whole history and Helen Salter very well.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, KK, because I mean, I probably almost tripped over you once because it was Salter's dance studio. I remember that, all these little girls in tutus, you know, running down the hallway, and I don't know.
Well, I did not study with Helen Salter. I came after Helen Salter, so I didn't have that privilege. But I got to study with Nancy Abbey while it was still the Tallahassee Civic Ballet.
And from those, I guess, modest beginnings, it certainly has expanded, but it still has that teaching component. It is not just a performance-based organization, right?
No, definitely. The most important thing, I speak for Mr. Brooks, I think, as well, is that teaching comes first. Training them to dance is by far the most important thing.
So how many students now are with the Tallahassee Ballet?
Students in the school, actually we have the school, which is about 250 students. So that is the school. There was a period of time there after Helen Salter had the school that when she retired, we just had the Tallahassee Civic Ballet, which became the Tallahassee Ballet. And during a good amount of years there, we did not have a school associated with the company for a long time. It was just the company. And then later again, we started probably in about 2010, we started the school again, which now that we have, and it helps to be a feeder to the company as well as us, you know, hiring professional dancers that are actually in the company.
Okay. And now, Shelby, you were a dancer with the company too, right?
Yes, I was. KK was actually the artistic director when I was with the company, and Janet was one of my teachers. And that was a while ago, but it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Now, I don't think I would measure up with the dancers that are in the company now. The caliber is just by far exceeds where we were 30 years ago, but it was just such a great experience, and I think the same passion and the same performance, just the base, is that hasn't changed. So that stayed the same, but just the level of dancing has...
That seems to be with all aspects of culture and art right now. We're exposed to so much. International superstars are as close as the nearest screen. And if you don't measure up to that criteria, people go, oh, well, that's inferior. You know, if you can watch the very best on the planet, that raises the bar for all organizations, including the Tallahassee Ballet. And Tyrone, I mean, you have been associated with dance on the superstar professional level for many, many years. And how do you raise that bar locally?
Well, I think you set the standards in the very beginning. Dancers know coming into the organization that there's a certain standard, that then a certain amount of focus and dedication and hard work. And I think, you know, for the most part, if you give a dancer quality and you set that standard, like I said, in the very beginning, they know that they have to meet that standard. It's like an opera singer. Either you hit the high C or you don't.
Well, that's right.
And unfortunately, it's not for everyone.
Well, but obviously it was for someone by the name of Jorge Arceo. And how did you get from Cuba to Tallahassee, Florida, Jorge?
Well, it's been a journey. Before coming to Tallahassee, I've been around. I've been in Miami, L.A., Las Vegas. I've been all over the U.S. So, yeah, basically family was what brought me here to Tallahassee. I'm so happy to be here and be part of such a beautiful family. and be able to do what I love. It's such a wonderful talent to people.
Well, you've had then a large degree of comparisons that you can draw from with various companies and all that. How do these guys stack up? Pretty decent?
They're wonderful. They're wonderful. I mean, they're not just talented people. They are actually people who care for the people they are in charge of. You know, they give us so much.
Well, and you're giving back, too, though, as principal dancer. You have to be an educator as well as a performer and to pass that along to the next generation,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, yes.
That is true. But still, performance remains a big part of it, Janice. So let's talk about the next performance. If you're just joining us, by the way, the Tallahassee Ballet is our topic today on Perspectives, and you are invited to weigh in at 850-414-1234. What's the next performance for you guys?
Well, the upcoming performance are excerpts from Swan Lake and other works. And Tyrone can speak completely to what's on the program, but I do want to say that you said that performance is a huge part of what we are. We are the Tallahassee Ballet, and underneath that umbrella, we have the school, and we have a lot of different outreach programs, but our performances are very important, and not only that, but we now are bringing live music and orchestration to all of our performances. So if you're in love with music, come on out, because you will not be disappointed because of our live orchestration.
Also, too, what's wonderful, too, is that these dancers will get a chance to do something that's legendary. Every ballerina, every dancer knows the story of Swan Lake, you know, one of Tchaikovsky's most prestigious score. Along with that, we're also doing two contemporary works, which is vital for the dancers, because my philosophy is that they need to dance in many different styles, because the world has changed. In order for them to go out there and get jobs as a professional dancer, they have to be well-rounded and to be able to do more than just the classical ballet. And so therefore, you know, this is where Keke comes along, where she's brilliant in regards to and knowledgeable in regards to the company and the needs. And she's put together an incredible restaging of Swan Lake, Act 2 and 4. And I'll let her elaborate on that a little more.
Yeah. Go ahead and fill us in on the background there, Keke.
Well, it's obviously the music is what most important to me. And you can't top this music. So when Mr. Brooks mentioned we should probably do this, I said, sure. But I also want to do Act 4. Because Act 2 is what's normally done when people are not in a position to do the full length. And Act 2 ends very softly, and it's beautiful. But Act 4 ends with power, and the orchestration can't be beat. And we're fortunate that Doug Fisher is conducting the orchestra. He's outstanding. And we've worked together for a very long time. But it has been a dream. The classical ballets can be very, very difficult and uncomfortable to set. But this has been just an absolute joy.
Okay, now where is this going to be performed?
Ruby Diamond Concert Hall.
This is uptown. This is the big thing then, and especially with Dr. Fisher doing the music there. This is world class.
Absolutely. And, you know, and a wonderful thing, too, just to piggyback on what Keke was saying as far as Doug's affiliation with the organization is that he has history as well, and he's seen the company grow, and he knows dance. So that makes a huge difference.
The Tallahassee Ballet is what we're talking about on today's Perspectives on WFSU-FM, 414-1234, the local number, or you can send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. Have you always wanted to be a professional dancer? Why not share that thought with us here? And there may be a slot for you in an upcoming performance of the Tallahassee Ballet. We'll find out when we return. Back on Perspectives, the Tallahassee Ballet, what we're talking about today with some of the folks involved therein, including some of the principals. And the word principal has a very distinct and precise meaning when it comes to, like, principal dancers, which is Jorge. And how did you rise to that level, Mr. Arceo?
I guess hard work, and, you know, I guess it comes with some talent, too. But definitely hard work and discipline, that's the only way to go to make it all the way, you know.
Okay, your artistic director here is nodding in assent. So that's it. It is not only the inspiration but the perspiration too, Tyrone, right?
Absolutely. And not every dancer will be a principal dancer. It takes very special skills, you know, that you're constantly, it's very demanding. You have to work not just in the studio, outside of the studio. You have to come focused and be focused in your craft, regardless of how you're feeling that day. And a lot of dancers don't quite understand that because you show up every day, doesn't mean anything. You have to show up and make a difference. You know, you have to come with a purpose.
For those folks who are unfamiliar with either the classical or the more contemporary dance styles of ballet, and maybe, KK, you can jump in here too, there is a high degree of athleticism that is required for just about any genre of dance, especially some of the more contemporary stuff. You are making demands on your body that I think a professional football linebacker would find incredibly difficult.
I wish they could actually see Jorge do the astonishing lift he does towards the end of Act 4 of Swan Lake, because no football player could do this. It takes the training of being able to balance, and it's phenomenal. It is. We get a chill every time we see Jorge lift Hope and run with her for quite a long time through this crowd of swans. It's amazing. Contemporary people think is more athletic. But I also wish that the audience could see the pools of sweat on the floor from the lovely ladies who are being swans for 32 minutes. And they, one of the hardest things they've had to learn is not to try to wipe their face. They have to stand still and just let it just fall.
Yeah, and you still got makeup and everything else that you're dealing with.
Hot lights, yeah. Hot and just adrenaline in general. And they are just soaked. And they also do... Well, some of them do four works before that also require a tremendous amount of athleticism and are more contemporary. So they're having to go – the difficult thing for the principals, particularly Jorge and Hope, Tomi, are they have to go from a very contemporary, fun piece to a very serious classical work in 15 minutes. They have to change their whole psyche over intermission.
And it's not, even though it is difficult in contemporary theater where you are changing your personification or your character or that, in dance, it's not just your facial expression, your vocal projection, it's your whole body.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult, and I think that's been one of the struggles, to go from that contemporary work to the very, very difficult classical work and change your mindset about what you're doing. So that's been wonderful to watch these artists develop and realize they can actually go from one to the other and be successful at both.
How many folks in this education part of this, now 250 students approximately with the Tallahassee Ballet who are working it so hard, many with aspirations to go full professional here. What does that bring to the community? To have that kind of instruction, especially the intensity that is required if you are going to be part of an organization like the Tallahassee Ballet. What does that do overall, Janet?
Well, we have the Tallahassee Ballet School, and we actually start students at 18 months with Mommy and Me, so that is very recreational. I mean, we have a whole recreational side, but we do have dancers that are in the company, particularly some of our youth dancers, that actually train very hard and very well, and they're exposed to phenomenal talents like Tyrone and KK, and they also get to watch, you know, our principals like Jorge, so they get to see what it's like if they have an aspiration as a little girl to become a dancer or to become a ballerina. So, and then if they work hard and they have the talent, they have the ability at 9 years old to audition for the youth portion of our company. But a lot of people probably don't know that the Tallahassee Ballet started out as a community ballet. And we are still a lot based in our community, but we have grown substantially. And we have about 12 paid dancers now. And our goal here within our 50th anniversary is to have a fully professional company. And so we hope to have a lot more Jorges and a lot more Hopes. And, you know, and in doing that, one of the things that Tyrone and all has brought to the company is the fact that dancers, one of the things that they come to the Tallahassee Ballet for or any other company is to be able to have a wide repertoire so that they can do the classicals, they can do contemporary, they have things that are challenging to them. And so our community gets to benefit through that, from that, to see our performances, but they also get to benefit through that through the education that then can watch these dancers grow and see how they can aspire to be that as well.
And so should they get into a situation like the renowned Alvin Ailey dancers, I'm thinking Tyrone, they're good to go. They have the solid background, the training. They can plug right in and do it.
They've been exposed to different styles of dance. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, this has got to require a lot of resources. And so, Shelby, again, how does the community support an organization like the Tallahassee Ballet? That's got to take money.
Well, you can always start by buying a ticket to our upcoming show. That's a great way to support. But we, Janet does a great job finding grants and sponsors in our area to support the ballet. And that's, with any nonprofit, always a struggle. But she really does a great job with getting the community involved and supporting our budget and our goals. We're always looking for more sponsors and more patrons. And the dancers want to have people in the audience to dance for who appreciate what they're doing. And so we're just always trying to grow our base.
Because it will – Jorge doesn't want to work for nothing, right?
And also, you know, a part of that too is you know, I wish that we could have more open house series. And what I mean by that is to invite people into the building, because there's a whole difference kind of respect once you see what goes on in the studio. And I basically like to say the making of an artist, you know, to see the sweat, to see exactly, to feel that energy that comes out of the studio across the footlights. Because, you know, you go to the ballet or any performance and you see the glamour, you know, the lights and the costumes, but it's a lot more detailed, you know, the sacrifice and the commitment. It's very important.
You know, because the best dancers make it look so easy, and a tribute to you, KK, if they can pull that off while they are expending those puddles of sweat that you just referenced a few moments ago, and yet they're soaring through these incredibly complex and athletic moves, and you're thinking, oh, it's so beautiful and it's so easy, and it's not.
No, it's definitely not.
But to see how you pull that off, how you train the dancers, how you get them all pulling together, just imagine trying to replicate over, I don't know, half a dozen or maybe even a full dozen of people the same move at the same time. That is, how do you do that?
Practice and practice and practice. And that's 16 women trying to look like one woman for this particular production. 16 of them flying at the same rate, same time, same arms. And they're doing a very good job. It's extremely difficult. It's harder for a dancer to stand still and hold that position than it is for them to move. And the core has a lot of standing in addition to very vigorous dance. So they're holding themselves very tightly, and they practice and practice and practice.
Tom, what we do have that we can offer to the community and would love people to come out is twice a year we have a community thing called Backstage at the Ballet. And we just wrapped it up for this performance, but we'll have one again in the fall and then again next spring. And as Tyrone said before, that's an opportunity for people to come into the studio. We advertise it on our website, and they just call and reserve a space. It's totally free of charge, and they get to come and watch the dancers actually rehearse and see them sweating and see what it takes to actually perform. And then they also have a tour of the costume shop, and then our costume designer talks to them about what goes into making costumes, and Tyrone talks to them about, you know, the ballet. So it's a wonderful event, and it's a wonderful way for everyone to see totally free of charge, you know, what goes into making, you know, a ballet. And so that event is called Backstage at the Ballet.
Backstage at the Ballet. And so we will have a fall performance that will be coming up.
It'll be before the Nutcracker, so everybody will get to see them rehearse the Nutcracker.
Okay, Nutcracker.
You know what also, too, that again, there are a lot of people that have never seen live dance. And this is also an opportunity, not just for young people, but for seniors as well, to come into the studio to see something up close and personal.
Yeah, but which is that behind-the-scenes look that most people don't get, that you may have seen it referenced in a movie, perhaps, or a YouTube video or something along that lines, but to actually get that visceral impact of these people just essentially working their guts out.
Exactly, and also to let up and close and personal and to meet the dancers, because often we have a Q&A session as well, so they get a chance to meet the artists. And then again, too, it's a part of audience development. We've gotten so many additional people in the audience because they've had a chance to come to the Tallahassee Ballet School. And they're always impressed and say, wow, I had no idea that this existed, or I had no idea how hard it was.
You had mentioned, again, the support. Do you guys get anything from, like, COCA or city or county funding, or is this all just a labor of love and
No, this is not a labor of love. I mean, we do love it. Do not get me wrong.
And
we do
love
it. And it is labor. But we do work very hard. We are funded by COCA, by the city and the county grants. We also get funding from the state of Florida grant. And then we also, the school brings us revenue, but we have many avenues. But one of the ones that we really want to get everyone to do is to buy a subscription to our series. We have three performances a year, an evening of music and dance, the Nutcracker, and then we have a spring performance. And this year, obviously, we're doing excerpts from Swan Lake. But so many people come to just the Nutcracker because it's a family tradition. They see it. They love it. KK does a wonderful job with choreography. Again, it's live orchestration. But we have live orchestration now for all of our performances and plan on continuing to do that. And I think people would be totally, totally thrilled and enjoy if they could get a subscription and see all three performances. And they also get a 15% discount over, you know, just regular issued tickets. So I would advise everyone to go onto their website in the next month because everything will be up for next season and, you know, check out a subscription.
That sounds like a wonderful thing. KK, how much latitude does a choreographer have when you're dealing with something just as well known as a Swan Lake or the Nutcracker that even folks who don't have a great love of ballet have probably seen in some way, shape, or form?
That is a tricky question because you want to be as true as you can be to the original choreographers, Marius Petipa and Lev Ivanov. But on the other hand, when you're trying to convey a story during this time period, mime, no one understands mime anymore. So you have to retell the story in a way that you don't have to use mime because we don't teach mime well anymore. And the audience just is like, what on earth is going on? So actually, I chose to take the mime out and embed it into the story itself, instead of having 7 minutes of mime where the audience is trying to figure out what's going on. So Act Two is pretty iconic. You really can't mess with Act Two. So you stage it as cleanly, as clearly as I've performed it. So you stage it from your own memory and what you know about it. Act Four is kind of all over the place. So Act Four is not as iconic. It's tinkered with by all the major companies. Some do a lot of Act 4, some do all of Act 4, which is the Russians, and some do as little of Act 4 they can get away with. So Act 4, you have more latitude. There isn't really a standard for Act 4, which is the other reason I wanted to do it, because that gave me an opportunity to close this ballet. With Act 2 alone, you don't get an ending, because it's going to set you up for Act 3 and 4. But by editing Act 4 and putting it adjacent to Act 2, you actually get a full story. You get a full story from top to bottom of what's happening with this love story between the two principal dancers. And it gives a conclusion, a very satisfactory, big, musical, and dramatic conclusion.
Jorge, what is the most difficult thing beyond taking that ballerina for that literal ride and running around the stage there? What other demands does that place on you as the principal?
Oh, well, I think the most difficult thing for me is to carry the story out, like to tell the story and, you know, to be able to get the audience engaged. I think that's the most difficult part, because the rest you can practice and the technique is there, so you get it eventually. But, you know, and that's when these guys come in and they want to pour all that on you, like make you, like, that's what makes you an artist, you know, be able to tell the story and to have the audience engaged and make them feel that they're part of that, you know, wonderful thing.
Yeah, and communicate in that wonderful nonverbal way. You can't just yell at them, hey, you.
I know.
You know, you have to pull them in with what you are actually doing, with the movements that you're projecting to them.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough, Tyrone.
And the magical word is engage. Because if you go to the theater and you feel something, you know, whether it's the first ballet or all three or four ballets, you've done your work. And that's a part. That's just my philosophy, where I don't go to the theater to be entertained. I can turn on the television. But to go to the theater to be engaged, where some dancer does something, it'd be simple as a movement of the arm that makes you take a breath. That's engaging. And that, you'll remember, it'll stick with you. It becomes a permanent fixture, not only in your mind, but in your heart. And you'll tell the next person.
And Shelby, do you remember that? The first time you connected, you were on stage, you were performing whatever it was, and that click happened.
Definitely. And again, the skill of these dancers is nowhere near any place I will ever be. But yes, and dancing with other people and your peers and your friends and all sharing that story and telling that story to the audience, it is a fantastic feeling.
Is there a market? What is the market for professional dancers right now? We hear in a number of artistic pursuits that it's not like it used to be. There were, like, you know, the Tallahassee Ballet's educational programs where they're cranking out students, they're going into the professional ranks, they're making a living at this. What's the contemporary dance market now for people?
Well, it's kind of difficult. It's so widespread. I mean, there's so many options now. You know, at one point, either there were only a few classical ballet companies that you could audition for, or a modern company. Now there's so many avenues for dancers to explore. So, which is in a sense, in a good way.
I've even seen a couple of dancers that may not even do live performance. They have YouTube channels. And that's where they find the expression of their art. They have set up essentially their own stages. They have brought in people to do really good video production. And they dance online. And I don't think they dance anywhere else. Is that a future, Tyrone?
Well, I'm not knocking it, but, if that's what... you know, your desire is, but we're totally different. You know, we want to perform for an audience. You know, the dancers here, that's why they work so hard, and that commitment, that sacrifice. And, you know, when I was talking about the open houses that we do, you know, the backstage, the ballets, if you can perform in front of a small audience of people that up close and personal, you can do a lot more on a big stage.
There you go. 850-414-1234. We have folks involved with the Tallahassee Ballet with us here today on Perspectives. Would love to hear from you. Did you ever want to be a dancer when you were growing up? Love to hear that story too. Give us a call and we'll be right back in just a moment. And a friendly reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Go to our website, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and there amidst the plethora of choices, you will find Perspectives, because we archive past shows. We try to have the most recent one up there for you to listen to again and again and again within generally 24 hours after it actually airs. All right, let's talk about, Janet, if we could, the community outreach of the Tallahassee Ballet. You guys are not just in the studio area over there on in the old Northwood Center, but you get out into the schools and a whole bunch of other things, right?
Yes, we do. We try to do a lot of community outreach. Obviously, we have many performances that go on throughout the community, but one of our biggest community outreach programs is called Dance Chance. In Dance Chance, we actually go into 8 Title I elementary schools, and we give free dance classes to those students. And then at the end of the year, it culminates in a recital at Lee Hall Auditorium. In fact, next week I'm going to New York City to be meeting with the National Dance Institute. It was started by Jacques Dembois, and who was a former New York City ballet dancer, and he was trying to reach boys, trying to get them more involved in dance. And we are looking to bring that absolutely wonderful program to Tallahassee and expand it so many more people will be, you know, have the opportunity to dance in both elementary and middle school and to double at least what we're currently serving. So we're very excited about that.
How does that program go over when you get into one of these schools, a Sable Palm or one of those, and you do the presentation and get the kids involved? What's that like?
They really enjoy it. We have a community outreach person, Mary Rebecca Bartos, who's in charge of that. And everyone has been very receptive, and we have even more schools wanting it next year. In fact, later this month, both Tyrone and Mary Rebecca are going to be going to several elementary schools and getting them involved and showing them how to move. And just by simple things like, you know, movements like mop the floor, make a rainbow, and then you start putting all those movements together and they're all dancing and they all, you know, all of a sudden realize that they're dancing. And then if they, you know, have more interest and more talented, then they can go with classical ballet. We're just really excited to be expanding that program.
And it's the most natural thing in the world. When you're happy, when you're enthused about something, you move.
Yes, we do. In fact, Tyrone could tell you recently we had Youth Leadership Tallahassee come to the Tallahassee Ballet, and he had them all doing hip-hop.
And they were incredibly gracious. They had the best time. I mean, they left there sweating. They were exhausted, but they were in their element. And I think it was important, too, is that that's where you find the talent. Because I can say I'm a product of an outreach program because I had nothing. I had no idea what dance was until at a very young age. I'm peeping into a room that I had no business peeping into, and I saw dancers. And for something that just sparked something into me and says, I like that. So that became a joy for me. So that's where you find talent in these outreach programs. And just like with the Boys and Girls Club, the story of Misty Copeland, and so on and so on.
You brought up a really good point, though, and I don't know, maybe Jorge, you can jump in here, too, how the different cultural influences that we have in dance today are very much different than maybe they were back in the days of classical ballet, when you're talking about the Nutcracker and Swan Lake and all of those sorts of things, but the influence of hip-hop and Afro-Cuban beats and all of that has had an impact on dance today.
Oh, absolutely. And when you think about it, you know, when you see the social dancers that they're doing today, all you need to do is just codify it and say, okay, you're doing this and that. If you turn it out, it's a classical ballet step. It's second position. If you do that, it's a round shape.
And most of those dancers probably started with ballet. That was their base. And they moved into those more free forms.
And they kind of went backwards there. Has that changed your situation, KK, when you're doing choreography there, that you have other influences that you can maybe pull from as you're doing your own creative interpretation of different ballets?
Well, it certainly has, but I see it more in Katie Cashin's work, where she is very classically trained, but she does not necessarily do classical work at all. It's on point. But it's not. It's using the classical vocabulary, but she is also bringing in the modern training and other things. So I've seen it evolve in other people more so than in myself. But I do experiment more than I would have done 20 years ago, for sure.
Yeah, give a shout out to some of the folks who also assist you there. You're not just the only choreographer.
As
critical as you are to this whole thing. Yeah.
No, I'm definitely not the only choreographer. We have Jennifer Medina, who has staged a wonderful piece called Groove Boxes, and it is extremely athletic. It's on point. It is demanding and musically sound, and I love it. And she came in from, is it St. Louis?
St. Louis.
She came from St. Louis and did a residency with us, and she was outstanding. The dancers loved her. They grew from her because she's yet a different style. She is more modern than I am by far. And then Katie Cashin, who is related, and she is at Columbia and choreographs for a little theater company up there as well. But she studied and has a BFA from SMU. and has used and was able to choreograph a lot at SMU. So she has grown. But I see the influences of her different dance styles in her work. And she has set a piece to the rarely performed but outstanding Getz saxophone for orchestra. And it's amazing music, and it's a very playful piece. And this is one of the things that Jorge has to go from being very playful and telling a little story to being the prince in 15 minutes. So that all ties together. But it's been a great experience working with these two choreographers. And they bring something very different. You would not necessarily want one style, my style, always on stage. You need a variety.
Well, Jorge, how do you do that then when you have not just one unified piece that you are dancing, but you've got to do different kinds of things, and you're going from that, you know, playful kind of guy to something very dead serious? What goes through your mind to get you ready to make that switch?
I guess it's understanding the difference between the classical pieces and the more contemporary, like not just the movement quality, but also the story behind, and that will help you to make the switch from one to another.
Yeah, but you got to get inside that character then, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Just like you were doing just a regular performance, say, for television or for the stage or whatever, that would have vocals rather than dance moves, you've got to do the same thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
But using everything, not just...
It's quite demanding, and this is how you tell a true artist. They can go from here, they can go from the point shoes to flat shoes. And this is what makes the Tallahassee Ballet stand out. And because you go to the performance, you don't just see classical ballet, you see contemporary. So therefore, I like to when I'm thinking about a season, and of course, I'm always in conversation with the artistic staff, KK, as far as my thoughts and ideas, is to also make sure that there's something on the program that the audience will love to think of as an appetizer. So you get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And also, too, it gives the dancers a much stronger platform in which to work from.
Welcome to the ballet buffet.
Yes. I like that. Can we use it?
Sure. Go right ahead. Looking ahead now, let's start with you, Janet. How do you want to see this organization evolve? Certainly, lots of people turning out and spending money on tickets and lots more community partnerships and grants and all that kind of thing. But just looking ahead, how do you see this playing out?
Tyrone and I are pretty much on the same page of where we want the company to go, as well as our board of directors. And we are very excited. We've always been a community ballet and want to have that community element. But we are definitely looking to being a fully professional company and bringing Tallahassee the best talent that is at all possible, all with live orchestration. And we want that orchestration to grow as we grow. So we're really looking forward to the future. And, you know, we just need the community support to get us there. And we're a lot further than we were 10 years ago. 10 years, we didn't have any paid dancers, and now we do. So we're very much looking forward to the next 5 years and pushing us over that threshold.
And KK, how your evolutionary preferences here?
Well, I just have to say, under the direction of Mr. Brooks, the company has grown in terms of our artistry, particularly in terms of technique. And from my perspective, I just want that to continue, that we have these outstanding performances. But I'm seeing people that I've known for a very long time grown into great artists because of the direction, because of the and as Mr. Brooks said earlier, you have to do more than show up there. You have to work it. And he's made them work it. And they're thriving because of it. So from a practical standpoint, I want to continue to train these dancers.
Okay, Shelby?
I, of course, as the president, want to see the company become fully professional. But I, too, am excited about the skill, the variety, the talent, and seeing where that goes. The variety in our shows has really changed. And there's something for everybody. So even if you weren't that person that loved to go to a ballet, you will go and you will enjoy it. I guarantee that you will because of the variety. So I'm excited to see the variety and the talent continue to grow as we become fully professional.
Moving that base beyond just the ballet fans
exactly.
To the much larger thing. What did you want to dance that you haven't danced yet, Jorge?
Don Quixote, definitely. Yeah. I mean, as a Latino, Spanish ballet are my favorites. Of those characters, I love them. So Don Quixote will be the one piece that I would love to dance one day.
Let's see. We'll check with the artistic director, see if we can get that on the calendar here.
You know that saying, be careful what you wish for. But just to add to what everyone was saying, none of this could be possible. You know, yes, I have the title as the artistic director, but I have the most incredible artistic team. I couldn't do any of this without the support of KK. We finish each other's sentences. Sometimes it's kind of scary. Because we think a lot, and it's wonderful that we have that type of relationship, and the dancers see that, you know, and it is a family, you know, it is a family. Like any other job, it's hard, and if it wasn't, everybody'd be doing it. But I couldn't do this, you know, without her, and really, it was her that convinced me to take this job, because my past. I was an executive director and artistic director of certain other places, too. And I said, you know, I don't want anything that has director on title. But it was her that convinced me. And then I met her and I saw how she worked and how detailed she was and her passion her knowledge. It's like, okay, this could be a wonderful relationship.
It has been.
And here we are.
Thank you for your kind words. But I was so impressed from the first time I met you. And I'm so thankful you're here. You've made the company grow in leaps and bounds. And it's just been a joy.
It's us.
Well, we know too many organizations where you do not have that kind of synergy, that sort of relationship. And that can lead to very bad things.
It's vital. It's vital that you have to. And it's called trust.
Well, with this team in place, then, one thing we had not gotten into, I just wanted to bounce off of it. As we recall, several years ago, there was all this Sturm und Drang and controversy about a performing arts center for Tallahassee, and that kind of went down the old. Would that be something that the Tallahassee Ballet would like to see, to have its own performance space? You guys are going to be at Ruby Diamond. It's the big room that's coming up here for the next performance, but to have a place to call your own.
Well, I can tell you that we are very fortunate to be working with the College of Music at FSU, because our performances are at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall and at Opperman. So we're very thrilled to have that and appreciate that. But from my perspective, as a CEO of the ballet company, we need a performing arts center, not just for the Tallahassee Ballet, but also for the Tallahassee Symphony. FSU has a lot of commitments to its school itself, so we're all very limited on when we can actually get in there. And both ourselves and the symphony and opening nights are all trying to expand and give the community a lot more. So we would like to have a performing arts center. So hopefully somewhere down the road, there'll be a place for it. But until then, we hope everyone comes to our performance, you know, on May 12th and 13th of this performance, because they will absolutely love it.
That is May 12th and 13th coming up at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. This is going to be Swan Lake and, well, the 2nd and the 4th. Right, KK?
Right, that's correct, yes.
Okay, there we go. Not the whole deal, guys. The 2nd and the 4th. You know, otherwise you have to pack a lunch. You know, it's a protracted performance, let's put it that way.
And it makes a wonderful Mother's Day gift.
Yes.
Good thinking. Now, how would one obtain tickets and find out more and all that sort of good thing?
And for tickets, they can go online to TallahasseeBallet.org, and there's a place that they can click on that says performances and buy tickets there. Or they can call our office, which is 850-224-6917, and hit extension 21. And Jenny Levitt is an absolute joy to speak to, and she will make sure that you're taken care of and that you get your tickets.
And one more plug here, in case you have only joined us in the past half hour or so, coming up for the fall performance, because you offer a special bonus feature for folks to get out and actually see that in preparation, live and in person at the headquarters of the Tallahassee Ballet, right?
Correct.
Okay, and you can find out more about that on the website as well.
Yes, you can.
All righty. Folks, this has been a fascinating conversation, and I think a real tribute to everyone gathered around the table here and also the other community partnerships, the various other board members beyond you, Shelby, and other paid and unpaid staff of the Tallahassee Ballet who have been working so hard to bring a wonderful, cultural, enjoyable option to our community, unlike, as we said at the outlet, so many others that have kind of gone by the wayside because of that lack of community support. We obviously love our ballet because you guys are still thriving and moving right ahead. So with that, we thank once again our entire panel here on Perspectives, Janet Bouchard, Chief Executive Officer of the Tallahassee Ballet, KK, our choreographer for the upcoming performances, along with Jennifer and Katie, who have been helping you out so well. Shelby, thank you for coming in and talking to us. Certainly Jorge Arceo, principal dancer. And eat your Wheaties, because you got a lot of carrying to do coming up here in Swan Lake. And Tyrone Brooks, who has done such a masterful job of artistic direction for this entire ensemble. We appreciate also your organizing this great panel today and bringing them on to Perspectives. So thank you so much, folks, and we appreciate what you do for our community and the artistic endeavors therein. I'm Tom Flanagan, and a reminder that we have some other folks in the control room to say hi to, which is Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls, who have been helping out with all the button pushing and all of that today. And for next week, summertime is a hungry time for far too many area families, as the kids no longer have access to the meals their schools provide. We're going to be talking with folks from the full summer program, who will soon be helping fill that need in our area. We'll chat then next week here on Perspectives.
Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.